Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Samach Vav. We will begin on Daf Samach Vav Amar Aleph at the Mishnah at the second line. The Mishnah continues in teaching us the halachas of the Pesach, how a chacham can be matter a neder. It says the Mishnah Paischin, Yom Tovim B'Shabbosos. We could make a Pesach based on Yontif and Shabbos. A number of Pshatim and Rishonim, how to understand our Mishnah. One pshat, the simplest pshat, is that we tell the person who made the neder that included a series of fasts, that included Shabbos and Yontif as days that he would have to fast. Do you know that a person is not supposed to fast on Shabbos and Yontif? And if the person says, I did not know that halacha, that is considered a legitimate Pesach. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that the person had made a neder to fast on a series of days, which included Shabbos and Yontif, and the person is asked, did you recognize when you accepted upon yourself these fast days that included in these days were Shabbosos and Yom Tovim, days that one may not fast? And he says, I did not recognize. That too is considered a legitimate Pesach. And again, the Rishonim explain, as we have been learning in the previous Mishnayos, the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that we are not concerned that when the Rav asked this person who made the Neder that includes fasting on Shabbos and Yontif, that the person says, oh, if I would have realized that, I would have never made the Neder. We're not concerned that the person is saying something which is not true out of embarrassment. Rather, we accept what he says. When he says he did not recognize the repercussions of his nether, and it's legitimate Pesach. Says the Mishnah, B'Shana HaYa'omrim, originally they said that if someone came to Rav that saying that he had accepted upon himself a series of fasts that included Shabbosos and Yom Tovim, and based on that we had made a Pesach, the din was Oisim HaYom Mutarim, Shabbos and Yom Tov, he now became permitted to eat on those days. However, v'shakla yomim, the other days that he had accepted upon himself as a fast, asurim, he remained also forbidden to eat. Achbar b'kiva v'limeid, b'kiva that taught us, neder shot miktsasot to klaloi, that if a neder becomes partially null and void, the entire neder becomes null and void. As we have discussed previously, the Rishonim give two explanations in what the b'kiva says. Some explain because since the pasuk says, k'chol hayotzi mipiv yasa, so it's only k'chol if he can fulfill everything he said, but if part of the nether becomes null and void, it's no longer k'chol hayotzi mipiv yasa. Other Rishonim explain that when a person accepts upon himself a nether, he accepts upon himself the nether in its entirety, and therefore if he cannot fulfill the nether in its entirety, the entire nether becomes bottle. As we have also discussed, the Rishonim say that this din of Neder Shabbat Maktsas Batl Kulai only applies in a situation where there was a Pesach, like our Gemara. And since there was a Pesach on part of the Neder, the entire Neder becomes null and void. However, as we have learned, sometimes a Neder could be annulled through Charata, where the person indicates his regret of saying the Neder. There the Rishonim indicate that only the part of the nether which he regrets becomes null and void, but does not affect the rest of the nether. Similarly, as we have learned and will learn in Mitzvah Shem, a husband, a father, at times have the right to be mefer, to annul the dorim that their wives, that their daughters make. There too the Rishonim say only a specific part that the father or the husband were mefer becomes null and void, not affecting the rest of the nether. The Shalos Tshuvas Har Tzvi has a discussion of this halacha of Neder Shabbatel Batel Kuloi also applies to Nidrei Hegdish. Do we also there say Neder Shabbatel Mitzasa Batel Kuloi? And at the end he says it applies even to Nidrei Hegdish also. The Rivash, however, discusses a Shaila where there was a woman who made a condition that she will not get married to a person unless her mother and her brother consent. and her brother consents and her mother does not consent, says the Rivash that this is certainly not a situation of Nadar Shabbat Mitzvah Shabbat L'Kulay. Nadar Shabbat Mitzvah Shabbat L'Kulay is referring to a nether, which, as we have explained, if one cannot fulfill the nether in its entirety, we say that the nether is null and void. Here, it really doesn't have anything to do specifically with Nedarim, and therefore the halacha of Nadar Shabbat Mitzvah Shabbat L'Kulay does not apply. Koketzat, how does our Mishnah give an example of Nadar Shabbat Mitzvah Shabbat L'Kulay? Omar, if somebody said regarding a group of people, I will not have any benefit from anybody in this group, and then Huta Echemahem, regarding one of them, the nether becomes null and void, the halacha is Hutra L'Kulam. And as the Rishonim explained, the chiddush of our Mishnah is that even though this group of people that he made the nether is an artificial group, it's not a natural group, it's not like a series of days that are a natural group, the example that our Mishnah began with. It's a group of people, each one being a separate individual, that I, the Noider, created as a group. Maybe there I would say that since there's really nothing combining this group, besides the fact that I combine them, we should not apply the concept of Nedar Shemotah Mektsasa with the Kulay. Teaches us the Mishnah, we still do. Continues the Mishnah, if somebody said She'eni Nana Lazeh Lazeh, if there was a group of people, and here we don't have a situation of them being one group, rather what happened here was that the person says, I will not benefit from person number one, and then he says, I will not benefit from person number two, connecting number two to number one, just like I won't benefit from number two, and then he says number three, the same. So the halacha is, since all of these people are connected, all of these nedarim are connected one to another, therefore the halacha is huta rishon huta kulam. If the first nedar becomes null and void, given that all the other nedarim are dependent on that first original nedar, if the first nedar becomes null and void, so too will all the other nedarim fall. However, huta achron, if only the last nedar becomes null and void, then the halacha is ha'achroi mutter. The last person will be mutter, that nedar is released. However, the kulan asurim, the previous nedarim remain in effect. How about hutar amtsoi? If the person in the middle, that nedar becomes null and void, so the halacha is halmenu lamata, the people below him are mutter because those people are connected to him. However, himenu lamala, the people above him remain usur, they are not connected to him. If someone said, Sheni Nani Lazak Carbon Lazak Carbon, he said, I will not benefit from this individual, he is to me like a carbon, and this individual is to me like a carbon, then the halacha is Trichem Pesel Kalecha Vechad. We look at each one of these Nedarim as separate Nedarim, and a separate Pesach is required for each Nedar. If somebody said, Koinem Yain Shani Toyim, I will not drink wine, Shayain Ra'al Ma'ayim, because wine is not good for the stomach. Amrloi, and they told him, V'loyam yoshin yoflamayim, old wine is good for the stomach. And as the Mefarsh explained, Yayin yoshin, when the Gemara, the Mishnah, uses the words Yayin yoshin, old wine, it means wine that is 1 year old. When it uses the words Ham yoshin, it means wine which is at least 3 years old. So they tell him, why did you say you're not going to drink wine? Because wine is not good for the stomach. Old wine is good for the stomach. So the halacha is hotam miyushin, then he may drink old wine. However, continues the Mishnah, v'loy b'miyushin levad hotar, not only may he drink old wine, el b'chol yayin, he may drink all wine, because nedar shotam miktsasa hotar kulay. And as the Mefarshim explained, the reason the Mishnah had to teach us this din is to teach us that we would think that on the old wine, the nedar was never effective. On that old wine, the nether was always effective. And therefore, this might not be considered a situation of nether shutam ktsasa hutu kulay, because the old wine perhaps was never included in the nether, and the new wine remains usur. Teaches us the Mishnah that even in this case, we'd say nether shutam ktsasa hutu kulay. Similarly, if somebody says, koinem batzel sheni toyim, I'm not going to eat onions, shabatzel ra'al alev, for onions are bad for the heart, to some of a heart condition. Amaloi, halaya kufri yafululev. Onions, kufri onions are good for the heart. Machlok is what kufri onions are. Some say it's onions that come from a place called kufri. Others say that kufri onions means small onions. Hutaba kufri. So again, says the Mishnah, not only may he eat kufri onions, like kufri bilvar hutar el v'kol b'tzolim a masa b'haya. There was once, in fact, such a situation. V'itir Rebbe may b'kol b'tzolim or may allow him to eat all onions. Says the Tveris Yisrael, why did our Mishnah need to bring two examples, both the example of the wine and the example of the onion? Says the Tveris Yisrael, in the case of the wine, where the person made a mistake thinking the wine is not good for someone's stomach condition, and they tell him that old wine is actually good for him, so we can understand, says the Tveris Yisrael, why he's allowed to drink all wine. Because even new wine potentially can become old wine. Just let it become old. And therefore I can understand why he should be allowed to drink all wine. However, in the case of the onion, not all onions can become batzla kufri. For as we explained, batzla kufri refers to specific types of onion. So I would think, maybe, says the Tveris Yisrael, that only he should be allowed to eat batzla kufri, not all onions. And here we will not apply the concept of nadashot mektosla hutukulai. Teaches us the Mishnah that even here we apply that concept. So we learned in the Mishnah certain examples where Rabbi Kiva's concept of neder shota mektsasa hutukuloi does not apply. One was in the case where somebody made separate nedarim, just connecting one to the other, where their halacha is huta akron, if the last neder is released, only the akron is mutar kulin asurim. And the next case of the Mishnah was if somebody said shani nene lezeh karbon lezeh karbon, we view each neder as a separate neder, and we do not apply the concept of neder shota mektsasa hutukuloi. Says the Gemara Mantana that requires that you should say separately lezeh carbon to separate nedarim. Amarava Rav Shimon Hi. This represents the opinion of Shimon. Dama Atshayim Shvul Kol Echad Vechad. This is a Gemara Mishnah in Masechta Shvuos on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The halacha is if someone approaches me and says you're holding a deposit of mine, and I swear falsely that I am not, and then I admit that I lied, the halacha is that I have to pay back keren v'chaymish, a principal plus a chaymish, and bring an carbon asham. The Mishnah Masechta Shavuos discusses where five people approached me and said I owe them, I have their deposits, and I swore falsely that I do not. The Tanna Kamma holds that if I swore falsely, I'm obligated to bring five separate karbonos for each depositor. Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah there says that he's only obligated to bring five separate karbon ashamis if I ended with the words I swear. But if I said the words I swear once, I'm obligated to bring five separate karbonos. Rabbi Shimon, however, holds that unless he says I swear to each person separately, he only has to bring one karbon. So we see that according to Rav Shimon, he has to use the words I swear separately. Here too in our Mishnah, for these Nedarim to be viewed as separate Nedarim, he has to say the word carbon individually to each, regarding each individual. Our Mishnah said, Kainim Yayin Shanatayim, if somebody makes a Nedar that he's not going to drink wine because he's under the mistaken belief that wine is not good for the stomach, and then it turns out that actually wine is good for the stomach, neder shota mektsasa hutukuloi. I asked the Gemara, "Betepklei dein ra, why does our Mishnah have to say that wine is good for the stomach? As soon as the person is notified the wine is not detrimental to the stomach, that should be enough of a reason that the neder is nullified." Answers the Gemara, "Correct. Yes, if all he was told was that wine is not detrimental to the stomach, the nether would be null and void. But what our Mishnah is also coming to teach us, the Mishnah is coming to teach us that wine is actually good for the stomach. Similarly, somebody said, Koinim, Botzel, Shani Toyim, he's not going to eat onions, because he's under the impression that a bottle is not good for the heart, and then they tell him that it is good for the heart. Not the shotam mitzvah lahatul kula. The bottle of kufri is good for the heart. Again, ask the Gemara. V'tepiklei dein rap. Why do we have to say that it's not that it's good? As soon as he becomes informed that bottle of kufri is not bad for the heart, the nether should be null and void. Answers the Gemara, that indeed is the halacha. However, Amar Rab Abba, Vajaftani, tomorrow the Mishnah wants to teach us that actually Batzal HaKufri is good for the heart. Continues the Mishnah. Paischen la'adam b'chvay atzmai u'b'chvay bonav. Our Mishnah is referring, says the Ram, to a situation where a person made a nether that his wife may not benefit from him. That the halacha is that under those circumstances he has to divorce his wife. The Mishnah teaches us that the person could be told that this would bring shame to you or shame to your children. That is a valid Pesach. Oimrimloi, we tell him, Eloi Yisi Yedeya, were you aware, Shalomachim Oimrimlech, that if you're going to divorce your wife, people will say about you, Kachi Vestoi Shaploini, this is this person's habit, Megarish Es Bonov, Megarish Es Noshev, he divorces his wives, Vavenei Secha, you Oimrim. And they'll say regarding your daughters, Benois Grushas Hain, people will speak disparagingly about your children and saying that they're the children of divorced parents. Ma Rasi Iman Eul is Garish. People will say, why did this man divorce his wife? It must have been that his wife acted immorally. And therefore, there will be a question regarding the paternity of his children. There'll be a question that his children may chas v'shalom be mamzerim. Or as other Mepharshim explain, people will say that if this person divorced his wife because his wife acted inappropriately, the children who saw the behavior patterns of their mother will also chas v'shalom act that way and will therefore bring a terrible reputation to his children. V'omer, and the person says, Ilo ayisi yedei came. Shekane, were I aware of this, lo yisi noida, I would have never made a nether. In all these cases, I raise a mutter, it's not considered a nether. And again, as the Mepharshim explained, the chiddush of our Mishnah is that perhaps we should be concerned that the person is saying something which is not true. He was aware of the repercussions of his nether, and he still made his nether. However, when confronted with these very pointed questions by the Rav, he will not say the truth. We should be concerned that he's not saying the truth. Teaches us the Mishnah, we're not concerned about that. Says the Mishnah further, if somebody says, Koinim shani noisi es plainis kura, I won't marry this woman because she's ugly. Varehi no, but actually she's beautiful. Shchayra, I won't marry her because she's dark complexioned. Varehi levona, but she's really light complexioned. Ktsara, I won't marry her because she's short. Varehi erucha, but really she's tall. In all these cases, Mutaba, he may marry her. Not because we're concerned that she became beautiful. She was dark complexioned and became light complexioned. They were concerned that she was short and she became tall. El Shaneder Tos, the entire nether represents an error. Says the Mishnah, as we learned in the previous parak, in those times people typically married their nieces, and this man refused to marry his niece because he was under the impression that his niece was ugly, and therefore he made a nether that he's not marrying his niece because she's ugly. And then Rabbi Shmuel took her into his home and he made her beautiful. And then Rabbi Shmuel presented this woman to this man and said to him, Bini Mizuna Darta, was this the woman that you had in mind when you made a nether that you will not marry her? Omaloi Lav, I never met this woman, she is beautiful. Viteru Rabbi Shmuel allowed him to marry her. Baisushwa Bach Rabbi Shmuel V'Omer. At that point Rabbi Shmuel cried and said, V'nois Yisrael Nosein, really all Jewish girls are beautiful. Just as we're going to learn, the poverty makes them not look nice. Shmeis Rabbi Shmuel, when Shmuel passed away, Hai B'nois Yisrael, Nois Es Kina, the Jewish girls were crying for Omeris, B'nois Yisrael, Al Rabbi Shmuel B'china, Jewish girls should cry regarding Rabbi Shmuel, because he was the one that was concerned about them. And so it says regarding Shaul, B'nai Yisrael, El Shaul Bechina. And the Mefarshim say the word Bechina stands for B'nai Kol Yisrael Noasein. All Jewish girls are beautiful, just as we've learned, sometimes their poverty causes them not to look so nice. And the Ragged Shover explains, this is Peshat in the Gemara at the end of Masechta Tainus. The Gemara in Masechta Tainus, at the end of Masechta Tainus, discusses how on Tesva Ba'av and on Yom Kippur, the Jewish girls would go out to dance. It was the opportunity for the Jewish boys to meet the Jewish girls. And the Gemara says over there, Tan Rabbonim, Yof Yofi Shebehen Ma'a Oimris, what did the beautiful girls say? Tnu Einechem L'Yofi, pay attention to beauty. Miuchasos Shebehen Ma'a Oimris, the Miuchasos would say, Tnu Einechem L'Mishpacha, look at the family, that's what's important. Miuchasos Shebehen Ma'a Oimris, what would the ugly ones say? Kchu Mechem L'Shem Shemayim, marry us L'Shem Shemayim, Uvachi Tetruni Bezuvim, but give us gold jewelry. So the question is, here they're saying that they should get married L'Shem Shemayim, and then they say no, but give us jewelry. What's pshat? Says the Ragged Shover, our Mishnah and Gemara are the answer to this question. These girls were ugly, but they were saying we're not naturally ugly. All Jewish girls are naturally noasein, beautiful. Just our poverty prevents our beauty from coming out. Tatruni b'zehuvin, put on us jewelry, adorn us with nice clothing and jewelry and makeup, and you will see that we are not mucharois, that we are not ugly, rather nois, we are very beautiful. So our Mishnah said that if a person made a neder that he's not going to marry a woman because she's ugly, even if she becomes beautiful, the neder remains in effect. Only time the neder is not in effect if it was made under erroneous assumption that the girl was ugly when she was actually beautiful. But then the Mishnah brought a story with Rabbi Shmuel where there was a girl who was actually ugly, just Rabbi Shmuel had beautified her and the neder was no. So ask the Marmaisa Lister, isn't this story a contradiction to what we learned earlier? And as we have explained, when the Mishnah quotes a story, it quotes the story to corroborate what it said earlier, not to argue and say contradict what it said earlier. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is missing part of it, and the way to understand our Mishnah is as follows. The Tanakhama says that the neder is only null and void if the girl, when he made the neder, was actually beautiful. Even if she was ugly, she was indeed ugly when the neder was made, but then she became beautiful. She was dark complexion, she became lighter. She was short and she became tall. All of these cases, the neder could be annulled on this basis. And says the Mishnah, there was in fact a story where somebody made a neder that he won't marry his niece because she was ugly. And Rishmol made it beautiful, and based on that, he had the neder annulled. Tana says the Bryce, what was exactly the circumstance that happened there? She had a false tooth, which was very obvious that it was a false tooth, and it gave her a very poor appearance. Rabbi Shmuel made her a gold tooth. So first, I'm asked the obvious question. A gold tooth in someone's mouth is still not very nice appearance. So what was the point of making the gold tooth? So some say it wasn't made out of yellow gold. It was made out of white gold, and that's why she looked beautiful once he placed this tooth in her mouth. Others explain that she had a whole series of gold teeth in her mouth, and therefore placing this gold tooth in her mouth was very much the same as all the other teeth that she had, and it made her look very beautiful. Another pshat is that the tooth that Rabbi Shmuel actually put into her mouth was not gold, because as we explained, the gold tooth would not be pleasant appearance in a mouth. He spent so much time and effort and money on making her a tooth that is as if he made her a gold tooth, but it wasn't actually a gold tooth, it was a tooth that looked the same as all her other teeth. Kishokar of Ishmael, continues the Gemara in saying that when Ishmael passed away, the person who said a hesped said on him, Benois Yisrael of Ishmael, Bechina, Crier of Ishmael, Hamabishchem Shani, as the Pasuk says in Shmuel regarding the hesped that was set on Shaul, Hamabishchem Shani, he too put on Jewish girls beautiful clothing, in Madonim with the nicest finery, Hamale Ade Zav Alavashchem, and put on you gold jewelry. Shaul too, we find, was concerned that Jewish girls should look beautiful, and so too was said about Rabbi Shmuel, who was concerned about the appearance of the Jewish girls. Says the Gemara, Hahu the Amalel Advisa, somebody said to his wife, Kainim she at nenesli, you may not have any benefit from me, Asha tatime tafshilech, unless you will go and give the food that you cooked, Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon, to both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Tom, even though this was a very inappropriate nether, it represents inappropriate covet to the Talmid Chachamim, still Rabbi Yehuda ate from this food. Because he said the following Kavachoymer. Amma Kavachoymer. Omar Lassa Shalom Bein Ish L'Ishtoi. If in order to bring peace between a husband and a wife, Amma Torah, says the Torah, Shmi Shenichta B'Kedusha, the Shem Hashem which has to be treated with so much respect and holiness, Yimacha Amayim Amorim. We know that the Torah teaches us the Parsha of Asaita, that if a man is concerned that his wife had an adulterous relationship, he gives her to drink from the Mayim HaMa'orim, which means that water is mixed with the Shem HaShem is written on a parchment which is dissolved in water. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows his name to be erased to bring Shalom, even though it's a situation with Sofik. It's a question what the status here is. Ani, certainly I, Alach's Kam V'Kama, says Rabbi Yehuda, have to do whatever I can to bring peace between this husband and wife, and therefore I'm going to eat the food, even though the nether was inappropriate. However, Rav Shimon loitam, Rav Shimon refused. Omar, you must call b'nei amana. May all of these, may he and his children die. Then al yozus Shimon mekayim. Shimon won't move from his place. The first Shimon explained that it wasn't that Rav Shimon was trying to curse Chas v'Shalom these people. What he was saying is that the punishment for one violating a nether is that the person dies and his children die, and here, even if those will be the repercussions, I will not go and eat, because one pshat is it represents a bezoyin, represents a terrible embarrassment to Kavod HaTorah, that the kind of nether that was made. Other mefarshim explain that it would involve Rav Shimon leaving the Beis HaMedrash, because in those days food wasn't eaten in the Beis HaMedrash. And Rav Shimon says, my learning is more important than this nether. Others explain that it wasn't that Rav Shimon was saying that the children would die, rather the pshat is as follows. The person who made the nether would die, because he made such a terribly inappropriate nether. If he would die, he would not be here to properly raise his children, and therefore they too would end up acting improperly and end up dying. Furthermore, Rav Shimon said he took this position, Kehecha Teloi L'Sragli L'Minder. People should recognize and people should realize the severity of making the Dorim and avoid making the Dorim, recognizing that sometimes the repercussions are so very serious. And in fact, I saw from Rav Chaim Kanievsky that both the Chazon Ish and the Stipler would never go to dinners where wealthy people were honored, even though they were giving large sums to tzedakah, to yeshivas, because as our Gemara teaches us, the place for these Talmid Chachamim always remained in the Beis HaMedrash. But it's interesting to note, I saw from the Sefer Avnei Shoyim, that the Gemara Masechet Moed Katan quotes that certain Tanoim went to learn Hilchas Nedarim by Rav Shimon. So obviously, Rav Shimon was an expert in Hilchas Nedarim. Yet, even though he was such an expert in Hilchos Nedarim that he taught other Talmidei Chachamim Hilchos Nedarim, says the Sefer Avnei Shoyam that we don't find Rav Shimon's name ever quoted in a Mishnah in Masechta Nedarim, which is difficult to understand. If he's such an expert in Hilchos Nedarim, why isn't he mentioned in our Masechta? But now we can understand. Since we see that Rav Shimon took such a stringent approach to Nedarim, and we always try to follow the Koyach Dat Torah, the more lenient approach, therefore Rav Shimon is not mentioned in our Masechta because we don't follow his strict approach. Says the Gemara, Hahuda Amlad Visa. Someone said to his wife, Koinim she at nenesli, you may not have any benefit from me, atcha to roike by Rav Shimon Gamliel, until you spit at Rav Shimon Gamliel. Osas virakas alavushe. So she went and spit on his clothing. And the Chacham said that the nether had been fulfilled. Amalei Rav Achal Medifta Ravina. So Rav Achal Medifta said to Ravina, for her hile is lusuka mechavin. His point in making the nether was that his wife should embarrass Rav Shimon Gamliel. And normally spitting is not considered a degrading act unless it's actually done on the person's body, not on his clothing. Amalei, Meirik Amoni Rav Shimon Gamliel, spitting on the clothing of Rav Shimon Gamliel, given that Rav Shimon Gamliel was such an important, great person, Salusa Rapsahi is considered a great act of embarrassment, it's considered a seriously degrading act, and therefore it's considered that the nether was fulfilled. Says the Gemara, Hahud Amud Visa, somebody said to his wife, Koinim Shiat Menesli, you may not benefit from me, Achateri Mum Yafch Shabeich Rishmab Rav Yossi, until you show something, Tupshotim, something which is the biggest mum that you have to Rishmab Rav Yossi, or another pshat is, find something beautiful. Mum doesn't mean blemish, but mum means finding something appropriately beautiful to you. Amalahem. So we have to find, so he's trying to find something nice in this woman. And as Mefarshim explained, the connection of this Gemara to the previous Gemaras is just like the Tanoim in the previous Gemaras. Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shimon Gamliel, allowed themselves to be embarrassed to bring Shalom Bayis between a husband and a wife. Here too, Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi was doing everything in his power to see that this nether should be fulfilled in order that this couple should be able to remain together. I'm looking for something beautiful about this woman. Maybe she has a nice head. It's round like a ball. Maybe she has nice hair. So they said it's like the flax, all tangled. Maybe she has beautiful eyes. Truth is saying, they're unusually round, they don't have the normal shape. Maybe she has nice ears. They're twice the normal size. Maybe she has a nice nose. Bolamhu, it's squeezed closed and it doesn't look like a normal nose. Shemas fosasanois, maybe she has beautiful lips. Always saying they're thick. Shematsavarano, maybe she has a beautiful neck. So it said shakuthu, it's very short and it looks like her head is on our shoulders, not like the normal look of a human being that has a neck between his head and shoulders. Shemakresano, maybe she has a nice stomach. Savahi, it's bloated. Shema Raglois, no, maybe she has beautiful feet. Ruchavis Kishal Avza, they're wide like the feet of a geese. Shema Shmona, maybe she has a nice name. So they said Lechluchas Shema. Her name is Lechluchas, which means stained. Amalahen, Yofa Karna said Lechluchas. That name is indeed appropriate to her because she Mluchleches Bemumin, she's soiled with having all these blemishes, and therefore I found something appropriate to Habisharia, an ugly name. And I saw, based on this Gemara, that the Stipler says that one should not name his children with names that, when they grow up, can and will bring upon them embarrassment. Because only this woman, who was taka, so very ugly, was it appropriate that she should have a not nice name. Otherwise, people should have beautiful names that they should be proud of. Says the Gemara, Hupa Bovel, there was a person for Bavel, the Solak L'Ard Yisrael, that went out to Yisrael and Nosef married a woman there. And as the Mepharshim give two explanations out of Gemara. One explanation is that given that he was from Bavel and she was from Eretz Yisrael, they did not speak the same language, so they had communications problems. They didn't understand each other. Another pshat is that he was having difficulty finding a wife in Bavel. The Gemara says, "Nechois darga unesiv itasa." A man should be willing to lower his expectations, lower his requirements in order to get married. And that's exactly what this man did. Even though he was so smart, he married a woman of poorer intelligence. Amala, and he tells her, "Bashli trei talfi, cook for me two lentils." In Bavel, when somebody meant to cook a small amount, he said two lentils. But it didn't mean two lentils. Two lentils is nothing. She, however, being from Eretz Yisrael, either she didn't understand what he meant, or as perhaps she was not so intelligent, Bashle trei talfi, so she went and she cooked for him exactly two lentils. Rosachala, and he became angry at her. The next day, he says, Bashle gerya, cook for me a large amount. His thinking was that when he told her to cook a small amount, she cooked exactly two lentils. So if he'll tell her to cook a large amount, she won't cook a lot. She'll cook exactly as much as is needed. But she went, Bashle gerya, she cooked a large amount. So the Ben Yoyada points out that when she cooked the two lentils, the Gemara says he got angry. When she cooked a large amount, the Gemara doesn't say he got angry. Why? So he explains that when somebody is hungry, it's much easier, much more likely that he will get angry. And therefore, when she cooked the two lentils, he remained hungry. He was hungry, he was in a bad mood, he got angry. Here, she cooked a lot, but he was full, and therefore he wasn't so quick to get angry. Or, as he also says, perhaps he wasn't so upset that she cooked extra, because he went and he gave the extra for tzedakah. Then Amaloi said to her, Zil isolate trei butzini, bring for me two melons. In Bavel, butzini means melons. Azulai v'isolai trei shargi. So she went and brought for him two lamps, because in Eretz Yisrael, butzini means lamps. Amaloi, zil tavri yasan al-resht bavel, go break them on top of the doorway. Again, she not understanding that the word bavel means a doorway. Have yasa bavel ben bata above her. Bavel ben bata was sitting by the door, the kadar dina, and he was doing it in Torah. Also, tavris yasa al-resht. She went and she broke them on his head. Amla mahadenda of this. Why did you do this? Amrale, kach tzivani bali. So did my husband tell me to do. Amma at asis mitzayin balich. You fulfilled what your husband told you. Hamokem yoytzi mimeich. The Chakadosh Baruch should help that you should have shnei banim, two children, kabavim v'bavim. So the Eishel Avram explains the Gemara that initially, when this woman broke these lamps on his head, Baba ben Bata's initial reaction was to be very upset how she could do something like this. But then, instead of right away getting angry, he asked her, "Could you tell me what happened here?" And she explained to him that I did it because that's what I thought my husband told me to do. So then Baba ben Bata realized that he was chosh b'ksherim. He accused this innocent woman incorrectly. The halacha is that if somebody accuses someone incorrectly, he has to give that person a bracha, and that's why Baba ben Bata gave this woman a bracha. That's how the Eishel Avram explains. However, the Chasam Sofer has a very different explanation. He says that Baba ben Bata, that Hordas, who was a king of Klal Yisrael, had killed all of the Chachamim. The only person he left alive as an advisor was Baba ben Bata. And then Hordas regretted what he did, that he killed all of the Chachamim. And he came to Baba ben Bata to ask him, what did he do as tshuva for this terrible thing that he had killed all the Chachamim? So Baba ben Bata advised him to refurbish the Beis HaMikdash. And Chazal are actually upset at Baba ben Bata for giving Hordas this advice, because Hordas should not have been given the opportunity to do tshuva. And ultimately what happened was, that Hurdus poked out the two eyes of Baba Ben Buta. And this Gemara was the message that was being sent to Baba Ben Buta, that the two lamps were broken on top of his head, which was a message of what would happen to him, that his two eyes would be poked out. However, the Chasam Sofer says a deeper pshat. He says that from when Hurdus refurbished the Beis HaMikdash, two terrible things happened to Klal Yisrael. One was that Nevuah stopped in Klal Yisrael. Another thing was that Mechloikis, disagreements in halachic issues, began. Until that time, everybody followed the same opinion. Everybody had the same Messiah, and everybody followed the same opinion. It was only at that point when Mechloikis began in Klal Yisrael. So Baba Ben Buta was telling this woman, I gave her this bad advice. How did it come that I should give her this wrong advice, this bad advice, that had such terrible repercussions to Klal Yisrael? It came, he said, because I was the only Chacham alive, and I didn't have anybody to consult with to teach me that we should come up with the right thing to tell her this or not. My bracha to you, said Baba Ben Buta, was that you should have children who are Talmid HaChamim, but not only should you have children who are Talmid HaChamim, you should have at least two children who are Talmid HaChamim, who can consult with each other and give each other guidance and advice what is the proper thing to do. Klal Yisrael should have Talmid HaChamim who consult with each other, that can lead us properly. Hanun Lach Rebbe Lezer, Hanun Lach Rebbe Lezer, Hanun Lach Rebbe Lezer.